Prologue. What makes hackers tick? A.K.A. Linus's Law. Linus Torvalds. I first met with Pekka and Manuel at an event that the University of California at Berkeley had put together here in the Bay Area, a half-day conference on the challenges of the network society. Here were these social science big shots talking about modern technology and society. And there I was, representing the technical side. Now, I'm not an easily intimidated person, but this wasn't exactly the kind of setting in which I was most comfortable. How would my opinions fit in with those of a bunch of sociologists talking about technology? But hey, I thought, if they have sociologists talking about technology, they might as well have a technologist talking about sociology. At worst, they'd never invite me back. What did I have to lose? I always end up doing my talks the day before, and once again, there I was, feverishly trying to get an angle for the next day. Once you have that angle, your platform, writing a few slides is usually not that hard. I just needed an idea. I ended up setting out to explain what makes hackers tick, and why Linux, the small operating system that I started, seems to appeal so strongly to hackers and their values. In fact, I ended up reckoning, not just with hackers, but with our highest motives in general. I called my notion, in my normal, humble, and self-deprecating way, Linus's Law. Linus's Law. Linus's Law says that all of our motivations fall into three basic categories. More important, progress is about going through those very same things as phases in a process of evolution, a matter of passing from one category to the next. The categories, in order, are survival, social life, and entertainment. The first phase, survival, is a truism. Any living thing needs to survive as its first order of business. But the other two? Assuming you agree with survival as being a fairly fundamental motivational force, the others follow from the question, what are people ready to die for? I'd say that anything for which you might forfeit your life has to be a fairly fundamental motivation. You can argue about my choices, but I think they work. You can certainly find instances of people and other living creatures who value their social ties more than they do their lives. In literature, Romeo and Juliet is the classic example, of course, but you can also think about the notion of dying for your family, country, religion, as a way of explaining the notion of social ties as potentially more important than life itself. Entertainment may sound like a strange choice, but I mean by entertainment more than just playing games on your Nintendo. It's chess. It's painting. It's the mental gymnastics involved in trying to explain the universe. Einstein wasn't motivated by survival when he was thinking about physics, nor was it probably very social. It was entertainment to him. Entertainment is something intrinsically interesting and challenging. And the quest for entertainment is certainly a strong urge. You might not feel the urge to die for your Nintendo, but think of the expression, dying of boredom. Some people certainly would rather die than be bored forever, which is why you find people jumping out of perfectly good airplanes, just for the thrill of it, to keep boredom at bay. What about money as a motivation? Money is certainly useful, but most people would agree that money per se is not what ultimately motivates people. Money is motivational for what it brings. It's the ultimate bartering tool for the things we really care about. One thing to note about money is that it's usually easy to buy survival, but it is much harder to buy social ties and entertainment. Especially entertainment with a capital E, the kind that gives your life meaning. One should not dismiss the social impact of having money, whether you buy something or not. Money remains a powerful thing. But still, it is just a proxy for other more fundamental motivating factors. Linus's law per se is not so much concerned with the fact that these three things motivate people, but more with the fact that our progress is a matter of going through the full phase change from survival to social life to entertainment. Sex? Sure. It obviously started out as survival, and it still is. No question about that. But in the most highly developed animals, it's progressed past being a thing of pure survival. Sex has become part of the social fabric. And for human beings, the pinnacle of sex is entertainment. Eating and drinking? Check. War? Check. Maybe war is not quite there yet, but CNN is doing its best to get it to that final stage. It certainly started out as survival, has progressed to a means of maintaining social order, and is inexorably on its way to becoming entertainment. Hackers. All this definitely applies to hackers. To hackers, survival is not the main thing. They'll survive quite well on Twinkies and Jolt Cola. Seriously, by the time you have a computer on your desk, it's not likely that your first worry is how to get the next meal or keep a roof over your head. Survival is still there as a motivational factor, but it's not really an everyday concern to the exclusion of other motivations anymore. A hacker is a person who has gone past using his computer for survival, I bring home the bread by programming, to the next two stages. He, or in theory but all too seldom in practice, she, uses the computer for his social ties. Email and the net are great ways to have a community. But to the hacker, a computer is also entertainment. Not the games, not the pretty pictures on the net. The computer itself is entertainment. That is how something like Linux comes about. You don't worry about making that much money. The reason that Linux hackers do something is that they find it to be very interesting, and they like to share this interesting thing with others. Suddenly, you get both entertainment from the fact that you are doing something interesting, and you also get the social part. This is how you have this fundamental Linux networking effect, where you have a lot of hackers working together because they enjoy what they do. Hackers believe that there is no higher stage of motivation than that, and that belief has a powerful effect in realms far beyond that of Linux, as Pekka will demonstrate.